Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my fabulous co-host, Veronica Entwistle.
Hi. Good evening, everybody. Hi, Jackie.
Hi. I can barely hear you.
I can barely hear you either.
Uh-oh. Well, this may not work.
Seth, can you...
Seth? Oh, Seth!
We better just keep talking. We'll keep calling him on.
Seth, can you hear us?
We need a little help. Let's ask the team, see if they can bridge a little gap here. Hey, Jackie, let's just keep going, because maybe people at home can hear us.
Okay. Well, I can hear you better now, Veronica.
Okay. Because I'm yodeling.
All right, tonight's show, Staying in the Now Moment as Old Issues Resurface Out of the Blue. Tonight, we discuss how these intense and strange energies are bringing up old issues and creating stress and triggering us all over the place. And no, you haven't failed. There is a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not a train.
This is good.
And happy Valentine's Day to everyone. for those of you that have a reason to celebrate this, hopefully you're your own Valentine.
Well, it's all about love, eh? I always keep saying to people, it's all about love, you guys. How are we doing with that subject?
Right. Okay, tonight's dedication. And you know, Veronica, I think they need to switch us to a single line.
I think so. But just keep going because Seth will come on. Seth and Dawn, we'd like a little help here, darling. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. We're back. Sorry, you probably can't hear us as well, but we can hear each other.
Yeah, this show isn't for you. It's just for Jackie and
I. it saves us having to make our week call. Okay, tonight's dedication. And team, I hope you're listening to this. For clarity and ease through this shift that we're experiencing right now, we're going to see a lot of sadness out there, so it's important to stay in our center as we face our own challenges and those that we are witness to.
Is this a prediction?
Yeah, sort of. That's the dedication.
Okay.
So tonight, before we get into anything, I want to start off with a letter I received for people who are listening tonight that have never had a session. This letter really struck me, and I haven't been reading letters on the air, but this was such a phenomenal description of what somebody experienced during a remote session. I was not on the phone with them. This was an emergency, and for people that are clients, as you know, Veronica, when somebody has an emergency, if they just email, I always put it out for the team and ask them to pay an emergency visit. So on the 29th of January, this woman was in a horrible car accident, was completely incapacitated for years. And she re-injured herself on the 29th. And this is her little log here. It's a testimonial. I've been dragging all day, feeling lots of pressure on my left side, arm and leg. Matt, her partner, on his own, decided to ask for assistance because I didn't look good and I was too weak to even think. I didn't feel the ETs come in that night because I was exhausted and fell into a deep sleep. Next day, ETs come in a kaleidoscope of energy. The next morning when I woke up around 8 a.m., I knew my re-injury had been very serious because I was too weak to scratch my face. As soon as I had this thought, I immediately felt the presence of the IV going into my left arm and the warm, fuzzy, relaxed, out-of-body feeling that comes right after. I became so relaxed, I dozed off and woke up when I felt a jerk on my right shoulder. I could see them raising my left arm to see how I would react. I became very weak, and they put it down quickly. Then I began to feel a lot of pressure on my chest, and it kept getting more intense. It felt as if my whole chest was exposed, and at some point, it was so intense I started to become nervous. I didn't want to get into fear and started using biofeedback to relax. I must have dozed off again and woke up when I felt another jerk on my right shoulder. This time, they were giving me a small glass of what I thought was water, but on a closer look, I realized it was slightly thicker. Then the thought came to me, what a beautiful crystal glass. I must have dozed and woke up again when I heard myself say April. They were asking me a question that had a word in it that started with the letter D, and the question ended with the word date. The word could have been daughter, dad, death of my daughter's name, which all started with the letter D, and both my dad and my daughter's birthdays are in April. Their next question was the date of my birthday, and I answered the question clearly and quickly. This was all telepathic. I must have dozed off again, and this time woke up to a loud sucking sound to my left shoulder, or to my left, and found myself wide awake and feeling much stronger. When Matt walked into the room, he said he'd never seen this much activity from our healings. It reminded him of a kaleidoscope of energy. She just goes on to say, when I see on this level, I don't see the whole picture. Instead, I see in tunnel vision, almost as if I'm allowed to see only part of the picture.
Hmm.
And the reason I wanted to share this is because, you know, I've heard these reports from people where they do come in and do this very intense work, and they do kind of put you into an altered state. They do use IVs all the time to put you into an altered state so that you're not going to feel the pain as they have to work with you, and they're working, as you can tell by the dialogue, with the emotional body as well. But I thought this was so powerful. And, of course, she goes on, you know, after this too, with all kinds of gratitude and so on. But I love these when people talk about their own personal experiences where they're being asked questions and given, you know, these substances to drink, and so I thought that was kind of fun to share.
Mm-hmm.
before we get into tonight's show, all the rest of it, I want to talk about power retrievals, and Veronica, I know you're going to want to share with yours as well.
I really do.
And I'm just going to quickly talk about, why don't you talk about yours first, and then I'm going to talk about someone else that did something that was very unique. Because yours kicked your hiney, didn't it, honey?
Yeah. Well, actually, my intellectual side really finds it fascinating. Because what I did was, and the rest of me was going through a huge, huge change. But what we did was we brought up from the second chakra, and this is really interesting because I'm doing a power retrieval with my partner, Bob. And I can't remember exactly why we chose Bob.
I can tell you why.
Because I wanted to do God, remember?
You wanted to do God.
And I guess I bow to Bob.
And what they had said to you was, who is the most likely person that you have had a lot of cosmic lifetimes with, that you can think as far back as you can remember, okay, or assume that you have, that'll be the most neutral? Because really, Bob is not someone you've given power away to.
Yeah, I don't think I have.
And so he was the perfect candidate to be able to go into the deeper levels of a retrieval. That was our goal, was to go to the as deep as possible in lieu of you using doing a power retrieval with God, which I think they were concerned if you did, we didn't know how
much it would blow me out of the water.
Yeah, really.
That bottom line.
Because sometimes, you know, somebody wanted to do a power retrieval with the collective, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, no, not yet.
Well, here's what's really interesting. If Bob is a surrogate of all that authority and so on, and he's my partner, and then I got into my second chakra, into the belly, And what was so huge was that I had some deep emotional things come up, including a crying child, which I think is me, that's been going on for a long time. But then it was about betrayal amongst women.
Yes.
Which went from personal to collective to, you know, I had images of even, when we talked, Jackie gave, I think, two shows or one major show anyway on the burning years where women were burned for, what was it we were shaved?
The burning years ran from some of the 14th, but primarily 15th, 16th, 17th century. 5 million people tortured and killed, primarily women. This was set up by doctors and the Catholic Church. And the doctors were angry because women were doing birthing, and, of course, they were herbalists and healers, and the doctors didn't like the competition.
Being our sweet little brilliant selves.
Right. And so the Catholic Church came up with a confession that said that you had had sex with the devil. This is where the expression, the third time's a charm, comes from. That the third time you were tortured, they knew you would sign the confession just to be put out of your misery.
Oh, my gosh. And weren't we put out, listen to me, I'm claiming this, weren't we shaven from head to toe?
The belief was at the time that the power was in the hair. So women were shaven everywhere, including their pubic area, and put in a cage in the town square, naked.
And they didn't have this fashionable waxing business that's going on these days.
No, and God only knows how they shaved you. I can't even imagine how that was done.
Right.
And, of course, their hair on their head, their eyebrows, everything. So, and there's only one letter that remains from that time. One woman who managed to get a letter to her husband.
Really?
Begging him for some kind of poison to put her out of her misery.
Oh, my gosh.
So this is sitting in the collective, and it's huge. So go on.
Okay, so one of the things that happened to me, it's very easy for me to track through my life betrayal by women. And a tension that I have and a tendency to be isolated from women, even though I've been a feminist and very much active in setting up women's groups and so on. But always I brought to myself betrayal. And so it was a very logical thing. I had this, but then it started dropping back into past times, and I remembered the burning years. And the other thing that came up really, really strongly from my own belly was being put in monasteries, and I kept hearing 12th century, being put in a convent because of having certain kinds of powers. But what was really interesting to me is that with the guides and with Jackie, this came up, and then I felt really horrible for the rest of the day. Not horrible, like kind of mildly, like I was getting sick, and my belly and my stomach swole. I had this enormous weight gain in front, and I thought, oh, this must be a process. And then at bedtime, by this time I was cold inside, and it was a really interesting cold which I experienced some time before in healing process. And it was like being very, very, very painfully cold. But in the meantime, I'm warm. I'm feeling fine, but I can feel this cold running through my body. It was really interesting. And now when we're talking, I'm going, I'm sure it was the memory in the body mind of being freezing out in the city, right? As you just freeze to death, as you're in the winter, and it's cold here where we are, and it was cold there, wasn't it, in the burning years?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and just being out there, even without your eyebrows, it's pretty cold. And I was very, very cold like that for about a day and a half, as if I were getting a fever. But it wasn't like that. It was something deeper, like just a cold.
It's cellular, and because we carry the memory of those times at a cellular level because it's in the collective.
And then, Jackie, the good thing is that there's a release.
Thank heaven.
Well, I need to say that because we've all processed so much that we do know you get to a point of release, but I really feel the shift from that. So I thank you. I treasure that.
Well, the important thing here for all of you that are doing these is that we are working in the collective as well as our individual issues and our individual lifetimes, plural. And every one of you have agreed to do this on a much larger level. And this is where I celebrate all of you, because I realize how what a huge undertaking this is. And I always say this. I mean, it's like we were all planning this prior to coming in. We each took a piece of the puzzle and then wove it into the things we wanted to work on, and the collective, you know, the collective piece of the puzzle. And so your sessions are so absolutely dynamic. And we also, I believe, took on the collective in a much different way so that we could make a greater impact. Now, this is not self-aggrandizing, everybody. This is saying, look, okay, we're change agents. This is what we came to do. Is it easy? New.
Well, tell me this, Jackie. The way I understand it is that when I go through that kind of thing and the clearing of the cold and whatever, if I can have enough of that gone, then it reverberates through all the matching frequencies like that amongst us. Is that it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what I'm seeing, Lonnie, is this is the one I was going to talk about. You know, people are calling and asking, or some clients are saying, look, I had one who wanted to do a power retrieval with all men. And I'm like, oh, geez, here we go. Now, we have been doing a power retrieval on abductions with her, and I think she was the second one to do them. And for months and months, getting through the abductions was just unbelievable. And this is a woman who had anxiety attacks from the time she was a young woman, very young, you know, in her adolescent years. And it had controlled her life and devastated her, okay? And you know, we've watched her evolve through all of this. And so she had a setup, and she was, I think 2 weeks ago, she completed the power retrieval with the abductions. And so on the notes, because I always pull the notes from the previous session written on there, because the team always writes notes, next time power retrieval men. Well, I've been getting emails from her. All this anger that was coming up, first at a dentist and then at a doctor, and, you know, it was all. So today was her beginning of her power retrieval with all men. And it was interesting, the man that came in, the being that came in, a very tall, very authoritative, with a beard, which, you know, and of course, my question, you know, is always, well, you know, are they naked or, you know? And so the session began, and the team explained to her that the reason it was coming up, and her higher self had said to her, why, because she was walking around talking to herself, why am I so angry at this dentist and this doctor? I don't do this. And and her higher self actually said to her, it's in preparation for your power retrieval.
Uh-huh.
So, and this is groundbreaking. Nobody has ever done this before. So I, you know, I'm fascinated as the observer, okay? And because this is setting the pace as far as I'm concerned, you know, and this is also working in the collective as well as personally. So anyway, they immediately took her back to the burning year and explained to her about, you know, whether or not she forgot or whatever, because I know she's listened to all the shows, about the whole situation with the church, with doctors, and as, of course, as you brought up, betrayed by women, because women were turning other women in over little grievances.
To keep themselves safe, actually.
Well, to keep themselves safe, and also just the natural competitive nature of women, you know, over, you know, in villages, if you can imagine, you know, well, I'll get rid of, you know, Sharon or Latifah or whatever her name may have been, and
Jezebel.
Yes, there you go. And and for those of you that don't, well, we've already gone through this, but this has created a huge anger. I mean, really, it's anger at God.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also project, because we project God onto priests and ministers, doctors, you know, men of authority.
Mm.
And now, what was fascinating, once she got, and her second chakra was so weighted, she said if she stood up, it would have fallen out.
Oh, my.
And she couldn't believe the physiological feelings that she was having. Immediately after the power retrieval, she emailed me. And the whole memory of her confirmation in the Catholic Church came up to her. And that her first anxiety attack, she had never remembered this, happened in church in preparation for her confirmation. And there was this whole thing of anxiety when the priest came to her. She had to answer certain questions. And it threw her into this huge anxiety attack, which actually set her up for all male relationships and anxiety attacks that have ruled her life.
Oh, wow.
So it was so powerful, so interesting to me that you're talking about how that power retrieval took you back to the burning years, and hers did as well.
Mm-hmm.
Hers dealing with men, yours dealing betrayal by men, yours dealing betrayal by women.
And in both cases, they can be very close to you, you know. You know what I mean? It can be a husband, it can be your parish priest, it can be your sister, it can be very close.
It's just fascinating to me that, mm-hmm. that this is coming up now. And of course it would be because of the energies that we're dealing with right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally have been dealing with old anger that has surfaced. Enraged that I absolutely did not expect, and this is around an ex-husband and my son. I'm not angry at my son, but over control and betrayal and all of the same issues, except it happens to be focused on a particular person. What's interesting is someone had the insight that my son and I had dealt with this in lifetime after lifetime after lifetime with him. And that this is a lifetime we chose to break the cycle with him. And so I've been, you know, for me, I'm fascinated. I've been divorced from this man for 22 years. But because things are happening to my son, of course, and you saw this, Ronnie, mm-hmm. it's triggering me.
Mm-hmm.
It's bringing this up in me, all the old unresolved anger that I still have at him, because really, like the Three Stooges, if I had time, I would have gotten on a plane, gone to where he lived, knocked on the door, and poked him in the eye.
That'd be great. That'd be wonderful.
Oh, you don't know. It would have felt so good. So
I've had dreams where I've done that, and I felt totally released. Not to your husband, to other people. Yeah.
Well, what's interesting to me is that it also triggered old issues of fear, because he used very threatening tactics and has continued to control my son that way, that if my son didn't do what he wanted, he would, you know, create real bodily harm to me and potentially death. And so it's, you know, and of course, I just tend to run my life bigger, you know, more dramatic. I think just because I get to be the one that, you know, I don't know, throws a bigger rock in the pond. I don't know what this is about, but it seems I took it on purposefully.
But it's interesting. If we create through the law of attraction, and we create through, you know, what's going on inside of us, this is perfect for bringing that up. Hopefully the solution doesn't provide more karmic doodah. You know?
Oh, no, no, no. And again, I don't need to go to that to do karmic stuff. That's, no.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just saying it's a perfect setup to clear that, isn't it?
It is a perfect setup to clear it. And, you know, I had personally taken my power back from him a long time ago. That was an absolute necessity. And it took me to the edge of death and a whole lot of things. But because it's impacting my son now, it's back up in me.
Mm-hmm.
And but again, you know, this brought up all kind. I was walking the other morning, kind of leading into the show here. I was walking up the other morning, and I'm, you know, kind of talking to the team. This is my time to kind of, you know, dialogue with the team. And they're telling me about, you know, this anger and rage is coming up for people right now, and, you know, it's part of the collective, it's part of your individual stuff, and staying in the now moment, how imperative it is that, you know, if you project forward, it will bring up fear, okay, past or future, you're gonna touch fear and all kinds of other crap. You've got to stay in the now moment. Go ahead, deal with the rage, deal with the anger, move through it, don't judge it, just walk through it. So I get home, and there is an email from my darling squirrel, who we all love, and she forwards me all the stuff that's out there because my computer will kick it out. I don't know. I think there's somebody that controls my computer from a board ship, and they just filter everything out. And because interestingly enough, I get a lot of requests from people that can be a little on the unique side, and those things never get to me. So if there are people out there listening, you know, if you're coming with something very real, great. But if, you know, if you're, you know, if you've never got an answer, the team may have picked it out.
This is nice, eh?
Isn't that wonderful? Huh?
Isn't that wonderful?
It's actually delightful. It's very funny, but it's, you know, hey, listen, it's the house of high strangeness.
The high part.
Right. So I get back, and here's this email from Celia Fenn, and again, I always get it. It's starchildglobal.com. And I have to share this because it's so powerful. And it says, living in the now. Are we there yet? This is the question that children always ask when they undertake a long journey and get bored and frustrated. Are we there yet? And this is what many of us seem to be experiencing right now. Now she's looking at all the mail coming into her as well, and the symptoms that people describe. And indicative of anger and frustration. And the physical symptoms all suggest anger that is finally released in some way, even if we are not aware of it on the conscious level. I just happen to be aware. So she goes on to say, notice that nothing seems to be moving forward right now as well, and that is not just Mercury retrograde. Things being held up, gridlock is what she calls it. Not only are we not there yet, but we're caught in a traffic jam. And then she goes on to say it's all an illusion. Of course it is. And the illusion is dropping away. And again, this is what the team's been saying as well. We have everything we need right now. We are simply in the process of setting ourselves free from the illusion. And this is it. The old stuff that's coming, you know, that there's not enough, that there's lack, that there'll be a disaster. This is our old linear mind. The bottom is falling out, folks, of our old, this floor. This floor at the bottom is falling out. We're creating a whole new floor. You can't change this floor that we're currently or have been functioning on. Lazarus talked about this years ago. And boy, has that ever come home to roost right now, that when you create a new world, you literally create a new world where we are in the process of doing that very thing. It's there, and we, by our old stuff, lock ourselves back into the old linear, the old world filled with disaster and fear and all kinds of other things. The catch-22 here is that we've all thought 2007, we're moving in 2008, we've turned the corner, everything should be hunky-dory, and then we hit this gridlock, and it just triggers the anger and frustration. Now, I'm seeing this more as collective anger and frustration. It may be triggered in our personal lives by individual situations, but I think that we're processing it for the collective as well. Now, she goes on to say, which I love, this is something Archangel Michael said to her, okay? You're all one, and so you are transitioning together. You have agreed to do this work as a collective. So So it's not about individuals creating wonderful lives for themselves while the rest get left behind. It's about creating wonderful lives for the entire collective. Bingo. And boy, I couldn't agree with this one more. The other thing she pointed out, it's not a linear journey. And, you know, our whole concept of a linear reality is going to be challenged all over the place. Because we're going to be hopping back and forth based on what we're thinking about and what we're focusing on. We can hop back and forth in a moment. We can go from a moment of feeling total bliss and totally connected to the next moment and not know why, of going back into something in the past that may have caused fear or anger or resentment and feel our resonance drop like a rock. And I've been dealing with that this last week going, this is a phenomenon to me. I can go out and walk at night, feel absolutely safe. I walk in Las Vegas at night, pitch black, which, you know, anybody that lives here will tell you don't do. And come home and all of a sudden feel this threat of attack because my ex-husband has this thing of hiring these people that come in from out of the country and do terrible things. Now, I know better than to fear anything. I know that I operate outside of the consensus as long as I keep my resonance up there where it belongs. But struggling back and forth, which is what I've done over this last week, of having to do my self-talk, you know, my dog, my son saying, well, get a big dog, my daughter saying, well, do this. And I'm like, Jackie, you know better. If you go back into the old consensus, you're stuck. You can't do that. I mean, if there's one house in the world I would never want to break into, it would be mine.
I have to agree with you. But it's like a reality that when you're in the now and you're keeping your resonance in the now and stronger, then it's like you step out of that entire linear progression of events, don't you?
Absolutely. And, mm-hmm. The truth of this is he represents, I look at this as strictly a representation of the controlling masculine, suppressive, repressive, you know, paradigm. Okay? And which is something I have not allowed myself, even if for a moment, you know, I've dealt with men all my life, you know, I deal in a very, dealt in a very, a male-dominated industry. I never had a sense of fear about anything. And I thought it was so interesting that this stuff was coming up. And you're right. I mean, it's so easy to drop down into that density. So I had to take off, even the morning news off, which, you know, a little Las Vegas local news, that I have a funny Las Vegas news channel, it's very light. And I had to take that off as well because I noticed that it was triggering me in little areas. I'd hear certain things that would trigger the same stuff again, and I thought, whoa, boy, you know, we're jumping back and forth. And I would go from that moment of fear and boom, pop right back up into the bliss.
Hmm.
And I thought, this is fascinating. It's like being on a trampoline.
Like being on a what?
A trampoline.
Trampoline. Somersault here and there?
Absolutely. yes. And, you know, again, I always know if I'm feeling it, that people are feeling it at some level. And so, of course, the other thing I looked at, too, is we are integrating in our higher self. And the minute we drop our resonance down, we can't hold that higher vibration. This is a time when that's supposed to come, where we're supposed to integrate in our higher self.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're in process of doing. If the minute we go into fear or any of these other emotions, we can't hold the resonance. Anger, rage, those need to be processed out. This is not a time to stuff, though. And, you know, I laugh at myself if I rant and rave about something because I know I need to get it out. Once I get it out, I'm okay. But, and there are only a couple of things that do this to me. So, you know, I want to say if your anger and rage show up, be with it. But also be kind to yourself. You know, get down to the core of where it's stemming from. What's it really about? And follow the energy back to the experience. Take your power back from it. Boy, I can't. You know, like I said, the client that's taking her power back from men and watching that unfold as the observer today was so fascinating to me that this whole, the burning years are coming back up again. And then talking with you tonight, Veronica, before the show, and seeing where they showed back up in your experience as well, although we didn't get a chance to share after the session.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's actually amazing because it's such a good example of how we're carding thousands of years of human experience and, you know, all the trial, the lattice work of our evolution. Whew. A big job.
This is the lifetime. This is the culminating lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
We're clearing not only what we've experienced, you know, I hate to ever throw this one in, not only what we've experienced on this planet, but we have the option, the add-on, as I put it. It's an optional add-on. Don't even have to pay for it, at least not money, of clearing through our other cosmic lifetimes as well. And if we can get...
Is that like extracting the kind of the true self from all of this experiential stuff?
Absolutely. And our magic.
Mm.
Some people got so beat up in their other lifetimes off planet and then came onto this planet. You know, I'll use, if I can, your partner.
Bob.
Mm-hmm. Who got beat up all over the place out there in the cosmos,
mm-hmm.
then came on to planet Earth, you know, and tried to function here as the genius that he is. And, you know, as we're retrieving this stuff, I mean, I just keep looking at what kind of an unfoldment for him, opening up the ability to bring all that he brings to the planet by reclaiming his power from all these experiences, what gift that brings to Earth,
mm-hmm.
and the courage it took for him to bring all that stuff in and choose third density to play it out to boot. I mean, I just think that that's the height of
tolerance.
Of what?
Tolerance.
Well, heroism, I would call it.
Heroism, yeah.
Okay, so why is the now moment so damn important? I'm all for swearing tonight in case you guys get killed. Well, it's the only way we're going to get there. The irony is being in the now moment, still going back and touching whatever needs to be healed.
You know, it's sort of ironic, though. You want to be in the now moment, and then you come up with an anger. It comes from the past, and you clear that. But then that bolts you out of the now moment. It's kind of paradoxical, isn't it?
It is paradoxical, but this is what I said about the trampoline.
Mm-hmm.
We're jumping around right now because we're moving from linear to nonlinear.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving that way anyway. You know, those who really talk about Atlantis and Lemuria, Lazarus has done this for years, tried to explain in a way that humans would understand that Lemuria was nonlinear. And so the overlap between Lemuria and Atlantis does not match our linear concepts.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're now moving, it's kind of like, you know, from birth to death, you know, it's about you. Start out as a child and you end up as a child wife, you know. Well, we're coming out the other end of this human experience in density, in third density. And so we're going back to that overlapping. And we're going to do that overlapping with life experiences that we've had that are triggering the collective stuff, and dealing with them, pulling them back in, and healing them in the now moment. You know, and this is why, you know, I have to say the power retrievals, if anybody had told me I'd be doing this, I would have told them they were crazy. But I do understand all the preparation that got us to this and how amazing they are. And, you know, I'm going to, I'll give you an example because I find this so fascinating. We'll talk about money for a minute here because this is, I've got two children launching into totally new careers overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not spring chickens, okay? They're not in their 20s. And, I mean,
thank heaven, the 20s are very hard.
Oh,
I
know, but I mean, what are the odds to take these two young people, well, young, they're young to me, everybody is, and see them both launching at the same time into totally new careers. And so, you know, it gave me some time to look around at the whole money issue because my son could care less about money. As he said, I'll never be the CEO of any company, Mom, and take care of you, so you better do well. Where my daughter is determined she's going to be the biggest and best at whatever she does. And this money thing is coming up for people right now very big because where do you put money? What's safe? You know, all of a sudden, all of these issues we never thought we'd be dealing with are showing up. You know, are banks safe? Is the stock market safe? Is real estate safe? You know, what do you do with money even if you have it? What about retirement? Well, you know, folks, I hate to tell you all of this, but I thought I wouldn't even think about retiring. I think our work is just beginning right now.
Start doing what you love.
Yes, it is about
doing
what you love.
Mm-hmm.
And being totally open to receive from sources that you've never even thought of. To have things come in out of the blue, whether it be money or opportunity or whatever. And I'll give you an example. My daughter quit one of the top jobs in Las Vegas to completely undid her mother. Okay? I was just like, you did what? And I was not thrilled about the reason that she quit it. And, you know, she just decided that this is what she wanted to do, and she had this dream about doing something that made absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. And so she'd unleashed her house for $1,000 a month less than what she paid for it. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, she's lost her mind. In a matter of not even a month, she has made enough money consulting in her old field. The job just came to her, that she's got enough money in the bank right now to support herself for a full year. And she has this dream over here of what she wants to do, but this new career is being launched without her really making any effort whatsoever. It's all coming to her. So I never had to be concerned because even part of my problem was I saw her real career and I saw the dream that she had. But I saw the real career as if I saw her walking away from it. And, in fact, it came to her. So I had to sit around and laugh and watch how fast this was created. I mean, out of the blue. Out of the blue. So, you know, I bless her because she's such a living example to me of how quickly things can turn around. When we free ourselves up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I had to go into the bedroom and talk to myself. I do this when I'm getting dressed in the morning. I'm putting my makeup on going, Jackie, what are you wearing to keep your mouth shut? Which I did. You know, this is it's one thing to be doing this work, and it's another thing to be having children, and you try to be as neutral as possible and allow them to have their dreams and whatever they want to do. But I am fascinated because as I watch them, I see what can happen. And I see this over and over again with clients, and I think that this whole money thing, and of course, Silly Sen talks about it on this newsletter that she sent out, and Squirrel sent one just before the show from What's Up on Planet Earth, and it went into exactly the same information that I got, that Celia got. So, I mean, this is really, you know, when they're all saying the same thing, it's really time to pay attention. The other thing, home. You know, do we stay where we are? Do we leave? Where is it safe to live? These are all going to be issues that are going to be coming up really quick around us.
But we can count on knowing, can't we? We can count on getting the messages and the directions.
As long as we're not doing it from fear, as long as we get a strong sensing that, yes, this is the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
It does or does not feel right. I agree with you, Veronica. I believe that, you know, I did not want to be in Las Vegas. It makes me laugh, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And here I am, and I'm anchored in here right now. And, you know, I recognize that I'm supposed to be here. I mean, they made it so obvious I can't miss it.
And you like it, don't you?
Well, I am in gratitude every day, and I realize that, the key for me and the key for all of us is to be in gratitude where we are.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot move, shift, change, jobs, lives, whatever, whining about where we are. I really believe that when we are in full gratitude for our current experience, it can shift like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's when we grouse and complain that I think we really get in our own way.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
Jackie, there's something really anomalous in this whole thing as well. There are some people that don't seem to even notice a glitch, where it seems like their lives seem secure, they seem unworried, they seem not worried about consciousness, and they're just living that reality. That's just their paradigm, right?
It is their paradigm. And, you know, our job, as I said earlier, what we took on was to help shift the collective. You know, Celia has said it. This is not new information. I thought it was new when the team was saying it, but now I'm seeing others say it as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we came to do. There are people who are, you know, they're living good lives and they're happy. And, you know, in terms of consciousness, they are going to wake up. Everybody's going to wake up. But there are lots of people out there that are struggling. And, you know, there's been so much talk on the Internet about equalizing out the wealth and abundance on the planet. You know, I don't know how that's going to come about. You know, there have been different things people have talked about. I don't remember the names of them, you know, where it would be a redistribution. I have no idea about any of that stuff. I know that our job is clear, to clean, to heal, to hold the highest frequency and vibration of healing and love and magic for everything that we encounter.
Mm-hmm.
That's our job. If we compare, we're screwed. Comparing ourselves to anyone or anything else, because there's always going to be somebody who's got more or is this or is that. I've heard this from other people, Veronica, and I think it's a really interesting comment that. But remember that their lives can change overnight as well.
Mm-hmm.
If they're, you know, and I'm seeing this happen to people, I'm seeing the other side of the coin.
You mean you're talking about my comment about some people seem to be absolutely stable and secure?
Absolutely. But their jobs could change overnight, and they could lose everything overnight.
That's right.
Okay? Our job is to stay in the now moment at the highest frequency and vibration, knowing that we are totally, completely, and absolutely supported.
And in that neutral state, I think that's another word you keep using.
It's the neutrality. Oh, God, I can't preach this one enough. And, mm-hmm. you know, they've shown it to me over and over and over again. I'm in such a state of gratitude for every little thing. I mean, it doesn't take much to make me happy. Every single little thing just thrills the hell out of me. I'm really, truly
You're easy to please. That's nice.
Well, tonight I don't have heat. That would thrill me. And I'm thrilled I have a fireplace in here that can, you know, help warm my house. Rather than focusing on the fact that I don't have heat, I just decided I was just blessed as all get out that I have a fireplace.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
The other thing are supplements. And I want to say this to people because this came up the other day. And then it came up again tonight in a session. We're changing so rapidly that we're going to be drawn to different things constantly. And so a lot of things you've been taking historically may all of a sudden not work. I found myself today, which I was fascinated, ordering Ayurvedic supplements. And it was a very circuitous route that got me there, and I thought, wow, I never thought I would be doing Ayurveda. But gee, go figure. Nothing surprises me at this point. And I had a very strong feeling about it, and, you know, I take a ton of supplements, and I'm constantly adjusting, readjusting, you know, seeing what helps my vibration. Because so many people are finding, you know, I have even friends who all of a sudden can't eat meat, you know, and they're struggling with how do I keep my levels up and how do I get enough protein and, you know, what do I do? And so we're going to have to take different care of ourselves than we ever have before as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're a big one for being a vegetarian and for taking, you know, supplements.
But I've always found I have to eat some chicken or something, or I just am just like a kite. I can't get myself down to earth. And I would, you know, really, it's interesting. I just can't stay stable. And what I would really like is to be a vegetarian, but I'm not sure I can trust it because I know I have to function as well. How are you doing with it?
I'm doing great, but I have chocolate.
Good for you. Yeah.
Absolutely. I can't do dairy. Well, I do whey protein, but I can't do, you know, eggs or cheese or any of that. So if I didn't have chocolate, I'm not sure. But, I mean, I really, you know, I do whey protein. I'm doing fabulous.
Great.
And in fact, I feel like I'm getting better and better and better. So I have found it's been a wonderful transition. I'm thrilled. And I was doing without any dairy, and then I started noticing my hair was going to heck, and it was showing up in my skin. And once I started the whey, I can't see soy, so once I started the whey protein, and I found one that is lactose-free, and so it was absolutely a gift from the heavens as far as I was concerned.
Great.
Another thing is the flu. And, you know, the majority of the people I talk to that claim they have the flu are going through a huge cellular shift.
Hmm.
And it's not the flu.
So we can boast about it if we think we have the flu.
Yeah, I would.
I always say to people who have a sore throat, I say, you say, hot diggity, I'm getting wiser.
There you go.
So what you're saying is we're changing really fast as a collective.
It's huge, and it's, yes, it's challenging, and, you know, again, there's also the frustration and anger that comes up that it's not easier. Why aren't things changing right away? Why am I not looking younger right away? Because we've been working on a reversal of aging and rejuvenation. It is happening at the cellular level.
Hmm.
If you've got the flu, think that you're getting younger. That would be my advice.
You mean it's all in our mind?
No, I'd say it's all in your soul.
Oh, dear.
No, we're doing a ton of clearing now.
We are, indeed.
A ton of clearing. And and unweaving, you know, as you said, Veronica, from your experience with the power retrieval, the way it showed up in your belly, you know, because you're a tiny person, to look, you know, to have your whole stomach extended.
Yeah, it was quite interesting.
You're right.
But I knew that I was on a different kind of diet, right?
Yes.
We were clearing out a certain kind of food.
Yes, we are.
And that's another reason why supplements have to change, because when you change the load of subconscious material you're carrying, then you don't have to fuel it the same way so it can maintain
itself. You don't. And I think that's why the Ayurvedic supplements were attractive. That's a good point, because they tend to be more subtle.
Yeah, they don't use the sledgehammer.
Well, you know, again, I'm just fascinated. And again, without staying in the now moment, you're going to miss a lot of guidance that's coming into you.
Yes.
And that means worry is out the window. If you're worrying, you are wasting a whole lot of time and energy and holding yourself back from very fast progression. I was interested, my son was bothering me all week, and I looked it up in Louise Hay's book, and it was worry. And I went, crap. Nailed. I got nailed. Now, tell them about your show, dear.
I want to say something about my next week's show. My paradigm shifter is a woman who is a lot older than I am even, and she started talking subtle energy in the 50s, and you know, in the 1950s. And her name is Dr. Valerie Hunt. And she's quite an amazing, amazing woman, and she's still going strong. She's in her 90s. She's getting her latest book is being published. She's doing original research, and she's going to talk about aging.
God bless her.
And boy, oh boy, she would talk to me. She was talking on the phone. She said, "Did you get that? Did you get that?" She was like really vital and alive, and she's just full of beans. So I'm thinking it's going to be a very good show at 5:00. Tuesday, West Coast time on BBS Radio, wonderful BBS Radio here. And my own show is Radiance by Design, which is a conscious choice of what you're radiating out. And the practice of it, you can call into the show, and that's at 4:00. And that's
beautiful.
Tuesday.
Beautiful. Your website?
VeronicaEntwistle.com.
No H.
No H in Entwistle.
And, of course, we are ethealing.com. We love you all. A piece of each and every one of you is in Veronica and I. And a piece of Veronica and I are in each and every one of you. I can tell you, people, I'm seeing it in the dream state. I'm seeing all of you. I know we're meeting together in these huge meetings that are absolutely extraordinary. It is beautiful. We're doing it. I want you to know we're doing it. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. It's not a train, I promise you. We love you all and hope to hear that you'll tune in next week. Until then, process your rage and anger. Try to stay out of frustration.
Keep a sense of humor and have faith.
And stay in the now moment.
Right.
Good night, everybody. And good night, Ronnie. Love you, honey.
Good night, Jackie. Love to you. And good night, everyone.
PBS Radio.